in Romans chapter 12. This is lesson 11. I want to give you a word of warning for those of us watching on live streaming and those of us here. I got a phone call this week, and it caught me off guard. It was said they were Amazon security, and charges had been made against our account. And it didn't even dawn on me that that was a prank call, that was fraud, that they were trying to get information out of me. And so be careful. It's apparently going around. And they're very convincing. It had to have at least about four different people that were involved in the phone call to try to get into my computer and get all my information and that sort of thing. And finally, after a little while, they said something that just didn't sound right, you know, so I ended the call, but very easily could have caused some trouble. And I can imagine someone who was could easily be deceived by the way they did that. Tommy Tart is out of work this week because of his leg, and he's going to the doctor to try to get some help. And Tommy needs to be able to get back to work, so please do remember him in prayer to get well and be able to get back to work. He has to have a small job in addition to his Social Security to just survive, you know, so please pray for him. And our granddaughter, Abby, has got her arm in a sling because on the teen activity overnight, big ball game or something, you know, she got hit in the shoulder, got stretched, and the doctor told her it was the rotator cuff was stretched or bruised or whatever, you know, so hopefully she'll be okay in a week or two with the rest. So a lot of folks with needs, and I see Aaron's brother made it in tonight. Nice to see you, brother. Good to have you here. Romans chapter 12. We started this a couple of weeks ago, and we've got a little bit of a recap here. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we see that the emphasis here, the beseeching the apostle makes, is for a believer to be consecrated to God, presenting himself like he would present a sacrifice. The Jews would bring their lamb and present it because it had to be inspected. It had to be without spot and without blemish. And they would bring their burnt offering and lay their hand upon it to let it represent them as it was slain to be presented to the priest. And we're to present ourselves unto God a living sacrifice to the Lord. Dedication because of our love for God. And dedication because of our love for others. As Brother Jerry prayed, we concern for other people. It's important that we put that concern, that we put feet to it and go to them and talk to them and give them things to read and pray with them if they'll let us. If not, we pray at home. And it's always good before you go to speak to somebody about the Lord, talk to God about them before you go talk to them about God. And that way the Holy Spirit can prepare the way. We are to take up our cross daily for Christ as his disciples, and that means we have to deny ourselves. Our own desires and wishes and wants get in the way of serving the Lord quite often. So it's important we deny self and take up our cross daily and follow him. Commitment to the church, verse 4 through 8 in Romans chapter 12, deals with the gifts that God has given to the individual members of the body. The body is the church. We use our talents and our gifts that God has given us as God opens doors of service. He opens doors for us to step through to do something for him. Let us be prepared and ready and willing. And this requires that we must have a testimony above reproach. If we're going to go to people representing the church and representing the Lord, then we need to have a good testimony, because if people know sinful things about us, then they're not going to listen to us as an authority to speak to them for God and for the Bible. So it's vital that we have that testimony above reproach to represent the Lord and the church. Now, we're certainly not perfect. We all fail often. Daily, we need to go to God and confess our sins. And part of this 40 days of prayer deals with the fact of us having our lives clean by confession and repentance so that we can have access to God in prayer and have power with God that can work through the church. And so help us to do that. We aren't perfect, but we should confess and forsake all known sin daily in our lives. The church needs spiritual people to be teachers and encouragers and workers and witnesses for Christ. They can admonish and who are well studied in biblical things. Somebody told me, I think Bob told me on the trip, he was talking to he and when Swante let him talk a little bit, you know, Bob said that one of the ladies that's been visiting was interested in prophecy, wanted to know when I was going to preach on Revelation, you know, and that sort of thing. And some of you have a good understanding, a working knowledge of biblical prophecy, of dispensationalism, of a premillennial, pre-tribulation rapture position, of what the Bible teaches. And you can encourage someone in those things. That's often a subject that you can get started with to open a conversation with folks if you feel comfortable that you can answer their questions when it comes to that kind of thing. We can encourage others. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. We believe it not because, well, that's what the preacher says, but because it's what the Word of God says, and that we can learn to recall Scripture and say, in this book of the Bible, it says this about the Lord, and be able to share that with people. And by giving a reference from the Scripture, it gives authority to our words because it's God's Word and not just our words. In verse 11 and 12, we're reminded about love as a Christian in service to the Lord. Our love is to have a fervency in the Spirit, which speaks about our inward attitude. Years ago, you used to hear the expression that you heard somebody got saved and they were going to church, you'd say, they're on fire for God. You'd hear that often. And that's what he's talking about, having a fervent spirit, having a fiery spirit, to be stirred by the Spirit of God, to be enthusiastic in our service for the Lord, not slothful in zeal. Luther wrote, be not lazy as to what you ought to do. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So throughout the Scripture, you know, we see emphasis of being active and involved in the work of the Lord and putting forth effort to it, that we have enthusiasm in it. And then we rejoice in hope. Our faith is a faith of hope. And we hope about what God's going to do. Hope is bears an assurance in it. We pray. We know we are cleansed of our sin, that we are saved, that we are therefore a righteous soul. And righteous prayer with God is energized by the Lord and by His Spirit and will accomplish much. And so we present these petitions, and we're hearing a few of them that have been long prayed for in this church that are starting to make improvement. And, you know, Miss Diane Huddler has been in a situation that many people have been in and never live long enough to get a liver transplant. Or even if they find a liver, they weren't strong enough to go through the surgery to do that. And she is starting to make progress now, thank God, and we're really excited about that. That's our hope, should be our attitude all along, that God can do that and can raise people up, and we ask Him to do that. Patient in troubled times, expecting our future to be better in the Lord. We continue in prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit for all saints. We lift up people to the Lord with expectation in our prayer that God can work. God can do what we cannot do. And He's the final authority on everything we ask of Him. We sadly want God to work on our time schedule. We pray and we don't see the answer to that tomorrow and we get discouraged, you know, or we think, this doesn't seem like the Lord's gonna listen to my prayer. And we need to just be faithful, or to keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on believing that the Lord has the power and is willing to help us in answer to our prayers. We are to have the attitude to share with those who have a need. We're to be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. So sharing with those in need. You know, when it comes to money, we too often count our money before we make it. And we think about, boy, if I just had some more money, this is what I'd like to do. And if you're like most people I've known in my lifetime, you can have 10 things that you're going to spend your income tax return on before you ever get the income tax return. You say, well, I can buy this, and then you think of something else you could buy, and then something else you'd like to buy. What we should, as Christians, one of the first things should cross our mind is, look, there's an opportunity to give back to the Lord. I can give the Lord's tithe on that and maybe give a gift to missions. Maybe there's somebody you know that's in a financial need that you might be able to help them. And hopefully there'll be plenty left for you. But instead of putting all those wants in first place, put God in first place. And then see what God will bless to let you do with what is left. Demand happens when we're planning things. That's why it's important not to get in debt with credit cards. You use a credit card to charge something in an emergency or in a momentary need. My wife and I use credit cards almost daily. And we've been doing it for, I don't know, 25 years. And we've never carried a bill. Every month when the bill comes, we pay it off. We have the money set aside to make the payment, or we wouldn't use the credit card to start with. But there was a time, a long time ago, our refrigerator went out unexpectedly, and we had to go and put it on a credit card. Fortunately, we came up with the money before the credit card came due to pay it off. But that's not a wise way to do business, because if you go in debt hoping you're going to have enough money to make payments on it, the interest on those things will eat you up. And you're paying two and three times more than you should if you had the cash to pay for it, or just waited until you could afford to make the expenditure. Demand happens. You think, well, I'll get my paycheck next week. I'll have enough money. I'll do that. And then something happens. One of the kids got to go to the doctor. And there's a copay, or, you know, there's an expense. My wife got sick and went to the Riverview Clinic, where she goes see her doctor there. And he wrote her a prescription, and she went to the store, and we got Medicare and a supplement, and we pay a little extra on her Medicare supplement to be preferred. So she's supposed to get a little discount with a specialist, a little discount with other things. She went to the drugstore to pick up the prescription that he gave her to take, and it was $60 copay. And she asked them about it, and they said, yeah, you ought to see how much it costs altogether. You know, you're getting a discount. And that was unexpected. And things can happen that make demands on us. And so it's best not to plan that you're going to have and go in debt expecting you'll have the money to pay for it. Now, I know most people can't buy a car or a house without going into debt, but your weekly and monthly income should be that your budget can afford the payment that you're going to put yourself into so that you don't get yourself in trouble. And God can bless what you have left after you give to Him first, so that it goes farther than it would if you used it all for yourself. And we've seen that many times. Hospitality means lover of strangers. To love strangers. Hebrews 13:2. Let's look there and read that verse. Hebrews 13:2. Brother Bob talked about the anchor from Hebrews. Hebrews 13:2. That was the wrong book I was in. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. We had angels that came to Abraham and to Lot, and they treated them good, but Abraham treated them much better than Lot did. And God blessed them and provided for them. We had a girl that was a member of the church here. She was a fine girl, fine family. They moved way down the lower part of the state, and his job moved him down there. And he was hoping to retire, and she wanted to come back up here and go to Winthrop University and take education. And so we let her come and live with us, and we didn't charge her anything, and she stayed with us while she was going to Winthrop for a couple of years, and then she got the job of being the person in charge of the dorm that she was in. You know, the girls had to sign out with her, you know, to go places and come in, and I'd check up on them and all that sort of thing. And so then she didn't have to pay for room and board, and so until that, she stayed with us. And that saved her a lot of money, and she became a school principal. Is she retired yet, Joy? She has retired now. Boy, that seems like hadn't been that long, you know. But many of you have done similar type things. This church is generous. It has been extremely generous with many, many people. We have paid a widow to have a house re-roofed. We've bought two automobiles for people that were in dire need. We've paid the rent on several people's places to get them moved in. We've made house payments for people when they got in a jam. And, you know, the church is generous. And I believe God blesses this church because we're generous. And he uses us as a channel. If God gives to us, and then we hold on to that with loose hands so that he can use it for what he wants to, he'll give us more. And we'll be able to use ourselves to help him. Love blesses those who are our enemies. Verse number 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. I got a temper. Y'all got tempers? You ever get road rage? I tell you, it's all these folks from the north that have moved in here now that we have increased our population two or three times and the highway traffic has increased over and over and over. I blame it on the new people moving in, you know. And see, when I've lived here so long, you know, I remember when Cherry Road was a two-lane and there were a whole lot of dirt roads in York County. You know, I used to could ride my horse in a lot of places on a dirt road when I was a young person growing up. And the difficulty of traffic can get on your nerves. We're stressful people. We're anxious to get where we're going. And we don't like to have get held up. We don't like it when wrecks happen and there's traffic stalled for 30 minutes or an hour and you get those notices on your GPS, you know, to get off the next exit or you're going to take an hour to get where you're trying to go. And it's easy for us to let anger rile us. And if we aren't careful, that we'll have harsh words with someone that really wasn't related to what they were doing. It was related to the issues that made us stressed out before we ever dealt with that person. Well, yet when we deal with enemies, they have pursued us to do us harm, but we're to pursue them to do them good. And that's in the name of the Lord. I can always remember, but for the grace of God, there we could go. There go I. but for the grace of God. I preached in a prison one time. I told the men there if several people I know, including me, had been caught for everything they'd ever done wrong, they'd probably be sitting right in here with them. And yet we find ourselves in judgment on those when they do something like that. We can bless our enemies by God's grace and recognize, but for the grace of God, we could be in the same place they're in. They're just lost and they need to be saved. Otherwise, they'd love us as a brother in Christ. And we can love them and hopefully have an opportunity to be a witness to them. I read where a pastor said that someone came to him and told him all these bad things they said about him. And the pastor just told him that he knew a lot worse things about himself than those. And God help us to have that kind of patience and that kind of long-suffering and that ability to stop and think before we react like some politicians do, you know. Love is supposed to be patient and kind, realizing that the unsaved need the Lord. Verse 15, love is interested in others. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Love is interested in others. It takes a selfless attitude to rejoice with other people and not be envious of their blessing that is causing them to rejoice. We manifest the true spirit of Christ to others. A book I was reading, the pastor of that who wrote that book said that his brother-in-law's son was working in a store to earn money, and a drug addict came in looking for money to steal and killed his nephew, his brother's son. And he said his brother, instead of becoming bitter and vengeful, went to visit the man in prison and told him that he forgave him and gave him the gospel. And that happened to one of the families sitting here tonight. They had a daughter that was killed, and they wrote this man in prison and gave him the gospel and told him he was forgiven. And they were able to learn that he got saved and testified to one of the missionary preachers that we support who goes into the prisons to preach. And he came here to speak and give a report and told them about that situation, not knowing they were sitting here being the people who had done that and caused that that man would come to the Lord and be saved. I don't know if I got that much grace, but I hope that if it ever happens to me, that I will, that I'll do that, that I would be that way and ask God to help me to do it. Verse 16, love finds common ground with others. The Bible says in Romans 15 and verse 5 and 6, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So being like-minded with others, finding common ground. Paul said, I sought to be all things to all men that I might by all means save some. That we put ourselves in other people's positions so that we might identify with them. There's no elite in our church. There's no royalty in our church. We are all sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. But the whole church, we are royal in the sense that we are a royal priesthood who belong to the Lord in our service for Him. Verse 17 through 21, we're never to return evil for evil. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, not to us. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14, 15 reminds us of that also. There ought to be an attractiveness in our Christianity. I had a funeral here one day, and the lady came from the funeral home. She was her husband owned a couple of funeral homes, and she came, and she went back to our mission board and was looking at all the mission boards. She said, what is all this? And I said, that's missionaries we send money to every month, all the different mission fields. And she said, are all these different people? And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, this church gives about $100,000 a year to missions. She said, what? And it was just amazing to her. She had not been in a church that did that sort of thing, that this church, no larger than we are here, could do that kind of support to missions. And so there was an attractiveness about our ministry to missions that this lady appreciated very much. And I hope many will appreciate that also. Love keeps the peace. It takes two people to have a quarrel. If one refuses to argue, the other one doesn't have anybody to quarrel with. I wish I could do that. I wish I could really think ahead and be ready to do that. Be a peacemaker and not a troublemaker. As the Lord Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Love causes us to trust God that He'll handle the situations that we deal with and the enemies that come against us, and He'll protect us and provide for us as He does so often that we thank Him for. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You for the faithfulness of Your people being here tonight. We ask again that You might bless all here in their trip home and bless those that are watching by live streaming tonight, we pray. Father, help us to have the desire to be spiritual people that You can use for Your honor and glory, that will handle the situations of life in the right way.